I want to have a word of prayer. I want to read you one verse. And I want to share with you this morning the greatest truth that I have learned in the last 6 months. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your marvelous, wondrous grace. And Lord, I hope those are not just words, but truth that comes from the heart. Lord, I pray this morning that you would work in our midst. And Lord, that which you've helped me to learn and understand, I pray that you would do the same for those in this room today. Thank you for this opportunity. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The scripture, if you want to turn there, is Ecclesiastes. Some of you want to turn there, but you don't know where it is. It's in the Old Testament. Go to the middle of your Bible and turn to the right. You'll find it sooner or later. Ecclesiastes chapter number 7 and verse number 8. Chapter number 7, verse number 8. The Bible says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Let me take you to that last phrase. Let's read that again. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. I will tell you this morning the greatest truth that I have learned in the last 6 months is that God wanted to teach me patience. Quite frankly, I deemed myself to be patient. I could sit in traffic while others were honking and weaving about and really kind of laugh at them. There would be lines in stores and people would be fuming and cussing. And though I wanted to get home, I contained myself. I thought that was patience. When others around me didn't perform at the expected time, I thought it patience to not be angry. I would have rated my patience around a B, perhaps a B plus. What I've learned is I was an F. I had flunked the course. Patience, you see, is accepting without complaint whatever God has placed before you or he has allowed to come your way. Did you hear that? Patience is accepting without complaint whatever God has placed before you. It means that it's something that is not our will or desire that brings some sort of inner or outer suffering. And thus we come to the Word of God, and there's a term that is used often for patience. That term is long suffering. And believe me, sometimes suffering is long, but God has purpose in all of it. I find from the Word of God that patience is a part of the fruit of the Spirit. The Bible says in Galatians 5:22, and by the way, note something here, it is not fruits, it's fruit. It's a package deal. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Here's the word, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, he says, there is no law. I find that patience is a part of the perfect work of God within us. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance, he says, patience, and to patience, godliness. There's an ascending order there. And to brotherly and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. Wow, what awesome words we find from the Word of God. I believe sincerely that it's the need of God's servants. In chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, verse 24, the Bible says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth." If there's one thing that I've learned through the years, is that you must preach with patience. If you expect to get the response in certain ways, perhaps as an invitation and half of your church walking down the aisle, don't get upset when it doesn't happen. And God wants us to understand patience is a part of God's work within us. It's a need for God's servants. We find from the Word of God in Titus chapter 2 and verse number 2 that the aged men, they are to teach within the church, and they are to teach the younger. And if they're going to do that, they need to exemplify what they teach with this quality of patience. He says that the aged men be sober. Be sober. Be grave. I'm adding a word. Be temperate. Be sound in faith, in charity, in patience. There's a need in our lives for patience. It will take you through the perils of personal attacks. We go back to the book of Luke in chapter 21, and the Bible says, the words of Christ, "And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolk." I mean, that is tough. "And friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not be an hair of your head perish." I thought at first this verse doesn't make sense here. For he says, "In your patience possess ye your souls." In patience, allow God to do what he wants to do through all of those personal attacks and problems that come your way. But above all else, as I examine this thought of patience, is that which God has for us. Think about it today. You and I have sinned against an almighty God, but he hasn't given up. Some of you have sat in this church for a long time, and you've been saved. Maybe you've made a profession, but it's not real to you. God's still patient. He's waiting. What a marvelous God. In Exodus 34, verse 6, "And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth." The Lord in Numbers 14:18, the Bible says, is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty. He goes on and says, "Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generation." He says, "I'm willing to wait." But don't misunderstand, there is judgment. In the book of Psalm, chapter 86, 15, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth." What a great God that he is long-suffering. I have found that God is not through teaching me this virtue. Yesterday morning, to just give you an idea, I awoke and I went in and I showered. I went to the sink and I brushed my teeth, and all God's people said, I combed my hair, and all of God's people said, if you'd see me in the hospital, you know that I forgot how for a while. And then I sought to shave my face. I went back into the bedroom, and I put on all of my medical devices. On this hip is not a 45. It's a medicine injector. There's a line that goes from it up into a spot in my arm. I put it underneath my clothes. And when I take a shower, we've got to take it off, put plastic around it so there's not any water getting into that hole. Take that off and then reattach that, and I can't reattach it. My arms are the wrong length. I'd have to be a mouse in order to do it. But my dear wife, she's been very patient with me and put that on. And she went upstairs and then I finished the job. On my left side is a monitor that is attached to a vest around my middle. And that thing, if something goes wrong, will shock me. And I hope nothing goes wrong. I have felt those things a couple times and they're not fun. But just telling you that, understand something. Between the time I got up and the time I was able to walk up the stairs, it was well over an hour. That which used to take me 10 minutes in the bathroom, another 10 minutes in the bedroom, I could be upstairs, fix two pieces of toast, and run out the door in 30 minutes. But now it's a long time. And God's trying to teach me something through these kinds of things. For several months, I had to wait on others to do the simplest chores that I have done since I was in the cradle. I had to wait for their time, not my desire. It took 5 weeks of therapy, or three, I believe, before I could even take a step. Three times I've had to start over. Why did God allow this in my life? We could whine and we can complain. We could say to God, why me? But why don't we say, why not me? We talk about it. The Bible says that tribulation worketh patience. But I've heard God's people say, and very vividly, don't pray for patience, because God will give you tribulation. I don't know if I prayed for it, but God wanted to show me I didn't have as much as I thought. Why did God allow this in my life? Let me share with you three reasons, and I hope that they make sense to you and you can make application in your own life. I find, first of all, it is a must in ministry. It is a must when you are working with people. What is ministry? It is seeking to help people, and for the most part, to see them come to Christ. Not just because they're a sinner, but also because they're a saint. That we might come to Him for all of our needs. It's interesting to me that when Paul wrote to Timothy, in the last chapter he ever wrote in the Bible, he said, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. I heard a preacher one time say, that means when it's popular and when it's not popular. He goes on to say, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. I have found that if you do some rebuking, you better be ready to wait, because somebody's going to get upset. And you got to wait for them to cool down, because after all, you singled them out. I don't know how many times I've heard that. All I can say is this is, if your toes are getting stamped on, move them. If the fur is being rubbed the wrong way, turn the cat around. It's pretty simple. And if God is smiting your heart about something, let God use it. But in the ministry, you've got to wait. You've got to be patient for God to move and to work upon hearts. You see, think about God for a moment. One who spoke and the worlds came into existence. There are those that marvel and say, how could God make everything in 6 days and rest on the seventh? My question is, why did it take him so long? Of course, there's an answer to that. He was given to you and I an example of how our week should be. Isn't it interesting, even the heathen like 7 days a week rather than 10? But nonetheless, it's a must in ministry. I find also that it's a must in prayer. The Bible says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. That's Psalm 37, verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Allow God to do it in His time, in His way. You see, His ways are much greater than ours. Amen. If I would have had my way 44 years ago, this church would be in North Omaha. For there was a location way, way north that I thought would be a great place to start a church. But God had other plans. I was so disappointed and so disgusted, and yet God had other things in mind. It's a must in prayer. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Let God do it His way and in His time. Many, many years ago, the year was about 1979, 78, I needed another car. I was looking at and desiring to have a van. Because after all, when you got six kids, a station wagon gets a little cramped, especially because mine did not have a back seat. And so I was looking for vans. And I'd look at this one and that one. I would hear the price tags and try to figure out, how can I pay for this? I finally, in late, I believe it was about October of 1979, I said, God, whatever you want. Little did I know that 5 months later, God would lay one into my hands. I didn't have to pay for it. We put some into it over a long period of time. It was the top of the line. Best of all, it had a 460 engine in it. And I loved to make it go. But God does things exceedingly abundantly above all that we think or ask. Isn't that true? Yeah. It's a must in our prayer life. But let me share this one with you. It's a must in maturity. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, verse 1 and 2, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. We could dissect that verse, and I believe we could gain some greater insight. But as I look here, I see one who has matured. How does it come about? we must be patient. You see, we have babies, we don't expect them the next day to eat beefsteak, do we? Sometimes parents get a little anxious because they don't develop at the so-called natural rate. They're not meeting the charts just the way they are, or perhaps they're exceeding the charts like I did. But you must wait, because it's a natural process that takes place. But it's by the same token, we must allow God to do the different things in our lives that we might mature, that we might be truly men and women of God. God wants us to be patient. Amen? Be patient. Let me go back to something I said just a few moments ago, and that is, God is our greatest example, for He is patient. He's waiting on you. Christian, He's waiting on you to respond to Him, to allow Him to work in your life and to do the things that He wants to do. We often stop the Word of God and the work of God in our life due to our impatience. We get ahead of God. But lost person, if you don't know today that you're going to go to heaven when you die, God's waiting for you to turn to Him and be saved. God wants that in your life. He desires you to be saved. He may do all sorts of things to get you to wake up. You may have to go through what I did to realize there is indeed a God in heaven. He may put you on the flat of your back so the only direction you can look is up. You might be as I, where your bottom's stuck in a hole in the bed and you can't move. And there's only one direction to look. Christian, that might happen to us. But through it all, thank you, Mark, our God is there. Just turn to Him. In just a moment, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for you. I want to make it very specific. I'm going to ask in a moment to bow your heads. And I'm going to ask you to listen carefully to the question. And I'd like for you to respond honestly. When we're done with that, I will pray for you directly, not by name, but for your need. Christina over here will go to the piano and begin to play. I don't know what she's going to play, but I know she allows the Spirit of God to give her that song that's just right. And while she's playing that song, quit sitting in your seat. Get out of your seat and come and accept Jesus Christ, your Savior. You say, I got to go down an aisle to get saved? No, but I tell you this, if you're not willing to humble yourself and walk forward in this group of people, I don't think you're ready to get saved. Is that blunt and understandable? Because the Bible teaches us that we must humble ourselves before Him. By the way, Christian, that's often why God can't use you. You're not willing to humble yourself before Him and wait upon the Lord and let Him do what He wants to do. Patience is letting God do what He wants to do in His time. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Here's the biggest question of the day. Do you know? I don't mean think so. Do you know? Not based upon some kind of action you've done. Do you know, according to the Word of God, that if you died, you go to heaven. Can you raise your hand this morning and say, yes, preacher, that's true in my life. I know that. I know that. Hands are raised. A few not. It's to you now that I wish to direct this question. Would you like to know? Would you like to know? You can. Would you like to? If you'd raise your hand, I'm going to pray for you in a moment. Not by name, but you and I know who we're talking about. Is there one like that here this morning? Preacher, pray for me. I don't know if I'm going to heaven. Christian, let me ask you this. Are you willing to wait for God to do His work in His time, in His way, rather than being so anxious, so upset all the time, so disgusted with the rest of the world? Fretting and stewing, full of stress. I've heard people say, I've been under such great stress this week. May I suggest to you that you've not allowed God to take that stress, because He said He'd be with you all the way. Isn't that not true? And we don't trust Him and turn to Him. If you're here today and you know the Lord is your Savior, and you say, preacher, I know in some way, shape, or form, I need the patience of Almighty God in my life. Would you pray for me? I need that. God bless you. I need that. Let's pray. Father, you've seen the hands. But God, more than I can, you've seen the hearts. And I ask, oh God, that you might work in our midst. Lord, I pray that you will remove that pride that we have. Allow us to humble ourselves and to come before you and pour out our soul to you. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.